Will to Psalm 139, and hold your place there, and we'll also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Psalm 139 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the kids that under first grade are can be dismissed to go back to your class if you haven't already. Under first grade can be dismissed. My daughter was frantically waving at me. But Psalm 139 and 1 Corinthians 12, the bulk of what we read this morning will come from those two passages, but we'll also look at a number of other scripture references as well. Psalm 139, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How do you feel about yourself this morning? You feel good? If you were to evaluate yourself, do you feel secure in who you are? Do you feel like you have impacted the lives of other people? Do you feel like you matter to others? Where do you find yourself this morning? Do you feel confident? Do you feel good? Or if you were to evaluate the things that you've gone through and you've wrestled with, do you find yourself struggling at times with your sense of worth and your sense of value? Do you find yourself maybe sometimes wrestling with the things that other people have said about you and about who you are? And maybe you've found that sense of value being diminished. Do you ever feel maybe taken for granted, or that you're not really respected? Maybe if you think about, where do I fit in life? Do I fit in anywhere? When it comes to being within Bethel or at my place of employment, do I get overlooked? In my neighborhood, in my family, maybe even the course of history, where does my life matter? Where do I find my sense of significance? And perhaps you've come into this place struggling with those things. Maybe you don't feel like you matter. Maybe you don't feel like you have significance. Maybe you don't feel like you have something to offer. But this morning, God wants you to know that you have value, that you have something to offer. And that message is not just to us individually. That's this church as a whole, Bethel Assembly of God. You matter. You have significance. You have value. And you have something to offer other people. But the challenge is going to be, can I embrace that truth? Can I embrace the truth that I have something to offer? Because sometimes we might, in a sense of false humility, we want to say, well, there's nothing special about me and I don't really matter much. And in the grand scheme of things, in comparison to us and God, sure, that's true. But there is something that we must understand, because we won't have the confidence to step out and do what God calls us to do. We won't have the confidence to speak and say things and pray if we don't believe that God can use us, that God can use you. And so this morning, God wants us to figure out how to find value, to find worth. And we can find worth by understanding the work of Christ in our lives. If we can understand the work of Christ in our lives, we can find our sense of worth. But where does that understanding come from? What do we have to understand? The first is this, that our worth, our source of value, it comes from Christ. We've got to first understand where our source of value comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and speaking of the ministry and the work of the gospel and God using people, he says, all of this is from God. So all the things that take place within us, all the good, it comes from God. Then it says in the scriptures in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. That means you. God created you in the image of God. God said through Jesus' words, Jesus said that you are worth more than sparrows. Now that just doesn't mean any old bird out there. That means that you are worth more than the creation. Why? Read the creation accounts and you will see that God created everything for the pleasure and the benefit of his people that he made. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that astounding? All the amazing things that are around us, God made to bless you. You have value, and again, not in and of ourselves, but because God loves us. You are made in the image of God. And if we doubt that, then we doubt God's creative ability. We need to doubt God's ability to use us when we say that we are not anything of value. Because our value is found in Jesus Christ. We must know where this source comes from. Also, if you'd look with me, Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139. Listen to what David writes. And he's not writing just what is attributed to him. He realizes how God feels about everyone. And he begins to express what he realizes in Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. This is how God feels towards you. God made you. And you might feel like you can't do anything. You might feel like you're not capable. You might be thinking about what other people think of you. But God said that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Now, again, that's not to be prideful. We don't want to be prideful. But you have value. You have worth. You have something to offer because the Almighty God who created the universe created you. And not only did he make you, he is empowering you. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, and repeats the same idea in verse 11. The same God who empowers them all in who? Everyone. Not just David, not just some king, not just some pastor. God enables within everybody gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this also in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To each, again, not just a select few, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit apportions to each one individually. To each one. So if you find yourself living and breathing, God has given you capabilities, skills, and an ability to do things to impact the lives of others. You have a sense of value because of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit that lives in you created all the mountains that we see around us, all the trees, all the intelligence that we find in the human mind? God made that. The same God who healed the paralyzed, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, that same God is inside of you. And because of that, because you were created by an all-powerful God in a beautiful way, and because the power of the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you have value. And it doesn't matter what people have said of you. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. You have value, and you have something to offer other people because of the work of Christ in your lives. Do you believe that? And you see, we can find our worth if we can just simply grasp and understand the work of Christ. But are you willing to believe that this morning? Are you willing to accept that this morning? We can find this value if we understand where our source of value comes from. We can also find this value if we understand the irrelevant measure. There is a measure to discovering our value that is not really relevant, but many of us use it. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at verse 14 and following. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear, did I read that one already? Yes. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he so choose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Then skip down to verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. An odd picture that Paul paints when he paints the picture of the body as being each of us being hands, foot, and eyes and such. But do you hear what's taking place in this analogy? If someone says, well, I don't do the things that that person does, or I'm not as visible as that guy is, or I don't have the litany of visible success things in my track record to point to. And so because I am not that, I am not a part of the body. I don't have any value. I don't have any significance because I am not that person. And we play this comparison game. But it said that it is not for this reason that that person is any less a part of the body. You see, it doesn't matter what other people have done. That does not take away the value that you have. And it's the same way for us individually as well as a church. It doesn't matter what Allison Park Church has accomplished, or City Reach, or Allegheny Center Alliance Church, or any other large churches you can name. It doesn't matter what they have done. That doesn't take any value at all from Bethel Assembly of God. And it doesn't matter what other people have done around you. That doesn't make you any less a part of the body. Because our value isn't derived by what other people are doing. Our value is derived from being who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen. And so that measure of comparing to other people is completely irrelevant. It doesn't even matter when it comes to our value. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. We were intricately and beautifully made, and we are empowered by the same God who works in all of those churches, the same God that works in all those other people that you could point your finger to is the same God that's working within you, amen? You have value. You have something to offer because of the work of Christ in your life, but can you get yourself to a place that you can actually embrace that and believe that? Or do you want to find yourself through a false sense of humility saying, I'm not capable of doing anything, I'm just a nobody, and that's what I need to do to stand before God? And you find ourselves not accomplishing the work that God wants us to do because we don't believe. We don't believe in what God is capable of doing through us. You have value. You have so much to offer. If only we can figure out how to find our worth in Christ. We can do that by understanding our source of value, by understanding the irrelevant measure. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:18, we saw this. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. You have nothing to do. If you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you are where God has you. And so you can't look at God and say, well, it's not fair. I'd rather be in that person's marriage. Or I'd rather be in that person's family. Or I'd rather have that person's job and that person's finances. Or I'd rather have that person's reputation. Or have you ever looked at somebody and saw a personality trait that you admired so much and you thought, I wish I had that. Have you ever been there before? I wish I could sing like that person. I wish I could have people following me around like that person. Some people are just gifted at with people. Some people have all the intelligence in the world. Do you ever talk to someone and think, wow, I wish I could be as smart as you? But God chose to give each one of us the portion he chose to give us. And we are willing to submit to that. But are we actually walking in step with the Holy Spirit? And then it says this, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Some faithful Sunday school teacher out at a little church in South Dakota is going to stand before Christ, considered just as faithful, just as valuable as Billy Graham is. Why? Because he submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, it doesn't matter what other people are doing around you. If we are walking in step with the Holy Spirit, we matter. We have value, and you have something to offer the lives around you because of the work of Christ in your life. And so we must come to this place that we can embrace the work of Christ in our lives and understand this by understanding my source of value, understanding the irrelevant measure, and understanding the proof of my value. Psalm 139, again, if you turn back there, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. And I challenge you ever find yourself discouraged about yourself, read this psalm. Verses 17 and 18 say, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and still I am with you." God thinks about you, not just David. God thinks about you so much that if you were to try to number all the thoughts that he has about you on a daily basis, you would have to count the sand on the sea. That's how much God thinks about you. And not only does he just think about you, because we know there's some people who think about us, and the thoughts they have about us are not great thoughts, right? Do you know some people in your lives that you know their thoughts are not good thoughts towards you? But it says his thoughts towards you are precious. The way he thinks about you is the way a mother thinks about her young child. The way a father thinks in pride of his young son. That's the way God thinks of you. And on a constant basis, you must be worth something if that's how God thinks of you. The proof is in how God sees us. Again, Jesus speaking of how we are more valuable than the sparrows, more valuable than the creation. Think of the amazing things you have seen in nature. Aren't there some amazing scenes in nature? Even just some of the things around Pittsburgh are amazing sights. But you find yourself going to mountaintops. And anybody ever been to Colorado? I went to Colorado Springs one time, and you can look out this person's window. And here in Pittsburgh, we kind of live in the mountains. But there's like a flat plain, and then boom, just mountains. You can look out this window and see these gorgeous mountains in front of you. You are more valuable than that. The grand Pacific Ocean, you are more valuable than that. Why? Because God made all of that for you. Look at the proof, the evidence. The evidence is what you've accomplished in your life. The evidence isn't the intelligence you have. The evidence isn't the skills you have. The evidence isn't the litany of successful marriage, successful family, successful job, being able to speak well. That's not the evidence. The evidence is how God feels about you. That's what shows you that you have value. So much so that it says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in our lowest state, when we really weren't doing anything God had asked us to do, God expressed his love for us through his death. Isn't that amazing? And so if you ever doubt your worth, that's how much God values you. Even when you sin, even when you mess things up, that's how much God values you. You have matter. You have value. You have something to offer because of the work of Christ in your life. But can we embrace that this morning? Can you embrace that, church? Can you find yourself believing that you actually have something to offer? You can if you get yourself to embrace and understand the work of Christ. By finding where our source of value is, understanding the irrelevant measure, understanding the proof, and understand the evidence of opportunity. Have you ever felt weak before? Anybody here find yourself in a moment or a season of peace or of weakness? Listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians 12:12. "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." The parts of the body that seem, notice that, seem to be weaker, are indispensable. If you find yourself in a moment of feeling weak, you are invaluable. That is the moment that right around the corner, God's ready to do something amazing if you find yourself in a place of weakness. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring about the things that are, so that no person might be able to boast before God." Amen. If you find yourself in a place of weakness, that's when you can be used by God. And I'd rather be able to be working under the power of the Holy Spirit than under my own strength, would not you? Because I know of my own strength, I can't do anything. But when we find ourselves in a place of weakness, watch out. Watch out, because the things that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so you find yourself at this moment in a season in your life where you feel weak. That's the moment that God is able to do something. And we look at our past as a church, Bethel Assembly of God, and we might see ourselves now in a season of weakness, seemingly in a season of weakness. But when we are weak, He is strong. And so there is great opportunity ahead. Why? Not because there's any power within us other than the power of the Holy Spirit that's working within us. And it doesn't matter what we face or what we look like now. We, this church, and you as an individual have something to offer that neighborhood out there. You have something to offer your family, your friends, your coworkers. You have value. Why? Because God, the Almighty God who created the universe, made you. And He died for you, and He did so many things for you, even while you were yet a sinner. He did all of those things for you. Why? Because you matter. You have worth, not in any sense of a prideful way, but because we trust that this God is able to do things with even a donkey. Do you remember the story of Balaam? Even God could prophesy through the mouth of a donkey. Then why can't He use us? We have value. We have something to offer. But can we get ourselves to a place that we can actually believe in that? That we can actually believe in ourselves by experiencing the work of Christ in our lives. We can get there if we can understand that work of Christ by understanding our source of value, the irrelevant measure, the proof, the evidence of opportunity, and the power of transformation. If you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This power of transformation. As you're turning there, we are transformed by God's gifting. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, to have this ability to impact others. The Spirit apportions to each one. Each one of us has been given this ability to transform lives because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This transformation does not depend upon me. Look there at 2 Corinthians 5:16. Paul says, regard no one according to the flesh. It doesn't matter how your body or your brains are as far as strength or weaknesses. It doesn't matter what your favor is with others. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the Holy Spirit can transform anything. The Holy Spirit can turn around any situation. Amen? And so it's this power of transformation we must have in our lives. Transformation has no regard for my past. Can I get an amen to that one? Listen to this powerful verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you have failed time and 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 time again, the old has passed and the new has come. If you experience the transforming work of Christ, it doesn't matter how many times you failed, the next time could be the moment of opportunity. Amen? Amen. Because the old has passed. Yes. The new has come. If I find myself in Christ, I am a new creation. In this church, it doesn't matter whether numbers are large or numbers have dwindled. It doesn't matter if there's excitement or a lack of excitement. It doesn't matter if that neighborhood knows nothing about us. We are a new creation if we are in Christ. The old has passed and the new has come. If I find myself in a place of weakness, I know that that is the moment Christ can do something in my life. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited that you find yourself feeling weak? That means God is able to do all kinds of amazing things. It says that He is able to do beyond what we can even imagine or think. But I must find myself in Christ to experience this transformation. This transformation that restores me and restores others. 2 Corinthians 5, again, look at verse 18 through 20. All this, as we said before, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Amen. Hallelujah. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This ministry of reconciliation, this ability to impact the world, Christ wants to do that through us. Not just through Allison Park, not just through Northway Christian Community, and not that there's anything wrong with those churches. But they are not the only ones God is calling to impact their communities, right? Because he has called us to experience this reconciliation, us to extend that out to others. You have value. You have something to offer other people because of the work of Christ in your life. But can I get myself to embrace that this morning? Can I find myself in a place that I believe in that? You see, he said, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If Christ is not right in your life, you'll fall flat on your face. Do you remember those in the gospel that attempted to cast out the demons? They thought that looked cool, and they said, well, we'll try that. And then they found themselves beat to a pulp because they could not succeed. Why? Because they didn't have Christ in their lives. But if you have Christ in your life, it doesn't matter how beautiful or not beautiful you might be. It doesn't matter how well you dress. It doesn't matter how much or what people think of you. If Christ is in your life, all things are possible. And God has something he wants to say to us in Jeremiah 29. And you know at least verse 11 well. And in context, it's speaking to the Jews, the Israelites, as they were in captivity in Babylon and offering a promise that was going to take place for them. But as we read this passage, you'll see peppered throughout this scripture this need to seek God, this need to be right with the Lord. And I believe that a principle is revealed to us that if we find ourselves seeking God, seeking the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, this promise is for us. This promise is for you as well. And he says this, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. That promise for those who seek the Lord, that's for you. Right, Kathy? That's for you. That promise is for you, this promise of having a hope and a future. Have you find yourself where you kind of need hope in life now? You kind of need that resurging faith to come up within your heart? Well, if I find myself seeking the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, my future is hope. My future is glorious. If I am in Christ, if I am seeking the Lord. And not only that, the things that once were lost, and some of us have had so many things taken from us and fall apart in our lives. But if we are seeking the Lord, this restoration of all those things is in our future for us. And I believe that not only is God speaking this to you as an individual, but speaking this to us as a church. Doesn't matter what skills and abilities and stuff that we have to offer. If we find ourselves on our knees seeking the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, I believe that God for this church has a future and God for this church has a hope. And I believe that the things we're lost are going to be restored. Amen? Amen. But it might take work. It might take patience. It might take sticking with it. But I believe that God is ready to bring restoration if we find ourselves in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe, as that said, that he will bring those who are scattered throughout the land, that he would bring them back. I believe that if we seek the Lord, even those who had left us once before will be back into this building. And I believe that God is already doing that even now. In fact, he is. Some who have wandered away from this church, not necessarily wandered from the faith, but wandered from this church, God is drawing, God is calling back. Why? Because we're seeking the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when we find ourselves in Christ, you have something to offer, my friends. You have value. And you might not believe that, but I plead with you, embrace the work of Christ and trust in all the evidence that you see of how God loves you, how God cares for you, and all the power that God gives to all of us. We can experience this if we can just understand the work of Christ. You have value. But can you believe that? Because that's very key, because Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible for the one who believes. That belief must be there. You have so much to offer, but can you embrace that? When David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 found himself fleeing from King Saul and hiding in the caves and had a moment when all his men began to turn on him. You know what it said he did? He strengthened himself in the Lord. And so if you find everything around you falling apart and nothing looks for anything for good, find yourself strengthening yourself in the Lord. You see, if we can find Christ, there we will find our worth. I'd like to ask the worship team if you would come and prepare for a moment to lead us. And if all of you, if you would, stand with me. All things are possible for the one who believes. Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling out to you that you have value, you have worth, you have something to offer? Not because there's anything significant about us other than that the Almighty God who created the universe made you. And that the God that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is working that same power in you. Amen. And so for just a moment, if you would, heads bowed and eyes closed. You find yourself standing here this morning saying, well, I've not believed. I've not really believed that. I've not believed that God is able to use me. I've not believed that I'm capable. And have therefore realized that I have not just doubted myself, I have doubted God. But this morning, I'm desiring to, with a declaration of faith, declare that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if that's you this morning, you're declaring in faith that you believe again that God can use you, would you just lift up your hand? Come on. All over this place. Yes, God can use even me. Hallelujah. Come on. You're saying that in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you might say, well, I've been distracted by comparing myself to others and distracted by the sight of weaknesses in my life. But now I'm committing to draw closer to my Lord and Savior and knowing that in that relationship I will find strength. That's you. You're committing to seek him and seek him more. Would you just raise your hand? Believing for that strength. Good, good, good. Hallelujah. I'm going to seek you, Lord. I'm going to seek you more because I know there I'll find strength. Or maybe you're here this morning and you would say that I've doubted because of my past, because of my life experiences. But now I know that weakness means something great is right around the corner. And so I'm simply asking you, Lord, you, Jesus, to restore my faith to help me believe again. And if that's you, would you lift your hand? Come on. Lord, help me to believe again. Good, good. Come on, Lord, help me to believe again. Good. Help me to have faith in the work you can do through me. Or maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've called yourself Christian. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've read your Bible. Maybe you've prayed. But you see, the one who is saved is the one who actually knows Jesus Christ and follows after him. You see, that is what Christian is. That is what being saved is. That is what being headed to heaven is. if I'm walking with Jesus, if I know Jesus. And this morning you would say, well, that's not me, but I'd like to be that. Whether you've called yourself Christian or not, you'd say this morning, I want to be that Christ follower. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Come on, good, good. Anybody else? That's me this morning. I want it. Good. Anybody else? I want to be that Christ follower. Good. Amen. Good, good. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. All you need to call out is to Jesus Christ, and you find your salvation and your deliverance and your restoration. Hallelujah. Now is the day you can call yourself Christian and know that you will be headed to heaven, to His glory for all eternity.
And so know that my ways are not limited. And know it is my will that will endure. Believe in this. When you see my redemption, do you not rejoice and have a merry heart? Know I am the God of mercy. Walk in my love. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Find out what is acceptable to me. Let my word dwell in you richly. Let my peace rule in your hearts. Be doers of my word and not only hearers. For behold, I desire to walk with you through each day. Seek me and you will find me. Know my word, grow in your understanding of it. Not what someone else thinks it should be, but what I show you through my spirit. Allow my word to grow in your heart, for by it you will be able to perceive what is right and wrong. You will see which path to walk in. Jeremiah 29 reads, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Call upon me, pray to me, and I will listen to you. Seek me, find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Come on, receive that from the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is doing a work, inspiring people to bring words because He cares about you, because He wants you to be in a right place with Him, because He wants you to be working in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when you come to the altar and you seek the Lord, there is just something that happens. Something that I can never contrive myself. As the Holy Spirit begins to confirm and break and awaken things in your heart. And so as the worship team leads us, if you find yourself needing assurance this morning, come and seek the Lord and receive that assurance. If you find yourself needing to silence the enemy, come. If you find yourself needing the love of the Lord to love on you this morning, come and find a place. If you find yourself needing faith restored or needing to be transformed, then come to the foot of the cross. Don't let one simple step keep you from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Come now as they lead us. Hallelujah.